While working, he eats kale and pets a cat. Bill King is a multitasker.
Brett Ciancio with us every Wednesday right here. And Brett, I'm going to shock you a little bit here. So you can't go to the liquor store, is that right, in your state?
Huh? Yeah, that's right, Bill. Yeah, the Commonwealth of PA has shut down the liquor stores, but I think just for the night. It's just a 24-hour rule. I don't understand.
Oh, it's just that one day.
I think they're blocking the Thanksgiving Eve crowd.
Wow. Anyways, that's not where we're going with this segment, y'all. He's up in Pennsylvania, so just wanted to tease him a little bit there. Brett, what is the, outside of the Iron Bowl, what's the key game out there to you, week 13?
Well, there's a couple. First off, in the Big 12, this is a game no one's really talking about, is Texas versus Iowa State.
Oh, yeah.
And it has a lot of Big 12 title game implications, because if Texas were to win, you have a four-team tie at the top of the Big 12. You got to pick two of them for the Big 12 title game. And how that would shake out was you'd have to look at their win-loss against each other within that four-team pack. It's a pretty deep tiebreaker, but long story short, it would likely end up as a Red River shootout rematch with Oklahoma and Texas coming out of there. So we'll keep an eye on that one. I want to see UNC versus Notre Dame, just another test for the Fighting Irish. I know UNC's been hot and cold. They certainly have the offense. We'll see if the defense shows up. It's a shame not getting all of our usual Thanksgiving weekend rivalries. You do have the Iron Bowl on there. I see that one. We'll see if Auburn can compete and give Alabama a true test. But those would be probably the biggest. But I'm excited for a full slate. A lot of great games here.
Alabama is favored by, Johnny Vegas just sent me some numbers, 25.5 in this game. It's a huge number. Were you surprised at that?
Yeah, it's always surprising seeing those lines. Traditionally some powerful programs, especially a rivalry game. It reminds me of seeing Florida State as 35.5 underdogs. I don't care who you're playing, just to see a number that big against some of these programs is crazy. But in this one, yeah, so with Alabama, Mac Jones is one of the Heisman favorites right now. He's lighting up in the vertical passing game. Alabama fresh off a 60-point win over Kentucky, a team that, Kentucky and Auburn, that was a close game until early fourth quarter. So, yeah, I think Alabama should be the heavy favorite. It's just a matter of how high you want to put that number. It's crazy to see, though, I will say.
They had the first playoff release Tuesday night, and 1-2 was predicted, Alabama, Notre Dame. But then they had Clemson with a one loss and the Buckeyes sitting there undefeated. I know every week that can change, but were you surprised at 3-4?
Yeah, I was. A couple things there. The rankings, I guess, don't matter too much because it is – the first ones that are out, we still have four more weeks left till conference titles, but really it's a chance for the committee to kind of put a statement out there, kind of read through the lines. So I don't know what their point was with putting Clemson 3 over Ohio State there. To have a loss on the resume, I know it was a close one, an overtime game at Notre Dame, but a loss nonetheless. And you have Ohio State that's done everything right, pretty much perfect passing until a couple picks against Indiana with Justin Fields. But remember, in that Indiana game, they hopped out to a 35-14 lead. Of course, they let him back in a bit, but hey, that's a top-10 team. That's a top-10 win on the resume. Meanwhile, Clemson coming fresh off their two last games were, a loss, and then also could have been and should have been a loss to Boston College, where they were outplayed the entire first half and built a huge halftime deficit. So I don't understand putting them above an undefeated Power 5 team like Ohio State.
Brett Ciancio with us from Pick 6 Previews joins us every Wednesday. Yeah, back to Notre Dame. They're missing starting center and right guard in this game. Center's going to be out because of a BC injury, and the right guard had an emergency appendectomy, I believe, on Friday. So they're patching together what might be the best offensive line unit in America. Now, they've got a veteran in one of those slots, Josh Luke, to put in there, who's been around a long time, and then a redshirt freshman to go at center. But that's something to keep in mind there as well. What about the Aggies and LSU, that ball game?
Yeah, I like Texas A&M. I want to see them back on the field. It's been a while. And then to see them debut at number 5, they're right in the mix in this thing. And we had said this, I think we talked about a month and a half ago, saying, hey, look ahead at A&M's schedule. Now that they're through that Alabama-Florida pack, they're likely going to be favored all the way out and be sitting there as a 9-1, one-loss SEC runner up there, a potential playoff team. And here it's already coming true. So they need a lot more help, I think, some carnage at the top. But as it pertains to this matchup, yeah, I like them against that LSU defense, who's just numbers are off the charts bad this year. My opponent adjusted percentiles, they're like in the first percentile, you know, the 1%, the worst percentile possible. So Bo Pelini, a lot of heat on him down there. It's, you know, it's always tough to replace a legendary team. I get it. There's, you know, a ton of guys playing on Sundays, but just the raw talent that they bring in every year, you'd want at least an average defense, not just a nation worst. So we'll see. I think A&M big, though.
If before we started the season we're looking at just random games, one we would circle would be Michigan-Penn State. That's probably going to be really big. It's turned out to be a disaster. Give us some thoughts there.
Yeah, it might be big for the different reasons where it's some of a save-your-job kind of stuff here with Harbaugh and James Franklin. It's getting embarrassing at Penn State. It's the first 0-5 start ever in school history, and we're talking about a program all the way back to the 1890s, first time starting 0-5. So there's a lot of heat there. And then with Michigan, you know, getting embarrassed by Wisconsin, just pushed off the field. You know, they battled back against Rutgers, but really Rutgers had a couple chances to win. And, you know, that's an area that Michigan really likes to go recruit, that North Jersey hotbed of talent. So, you know, to have the home team Rutgers right there in overtime with them, even though they won, you know, I don't want to call it an embarrassment, but, you know, not the strongest moment for Michigan either. So both teams really need this game, and it doesn't have the playoff or Big Ten, you know, impact we thought it would, but it still has a lot of impact.
Brett Ciancia joining us. We're talking college football. Give us some thoughts on JT Daniels' Georgia debut against Mississippi State.
Yeah, you know, they found a way to grind out a game against the team, Mississippi State, that I think only had 49 scholarship players active. So, I mean, a win's a win. You'll take it. I kind of wish we could have seen JT Daniels earlier on in this process, and I don't know what goes on behind closed doors there. I remember in the summer there was questions about if he'd be medically cleared, you know, but wow, I would like to see him more. I would have liked to see him earlier in the season. And bringing up Georgia while we're there, I don't understand the playoff ranking there, having them number nine, with two losses already. But not just two losses, but two blowout losses, where Alabama and Florida, I think they were both by 3 scores or more, you know, just not competitive. It seems like a one-sided team with Georgia, the defense, but then even the defense got exposed in big on the big stage. So I didn't understand them that high, and that's one of many, you know, initial gripes I had with the rankings. But, again, it is very early. I think they were weighting the number of games a bit more, so I don't know. It is what it is in a tough year. I don't envy their job at all right now.
Reports late last night. Second-year Louisville head coach Scott Satterfield scheduled to have an in-person interview for the vacant job at South Carolina. Year two at Louisville. I think that's a good hire. This year kind of has gotten away from him a little bit. The record's not going to be real pretty, but he's considered a good coach. Your thoughts on that story?
Yeah, I saw him. Scott Satterfield also put out a statement saying he loves it here at Louisville. He's flattered by the interest nationally. But you and me both know in this day of age, it's hour to hour. You put those statements out, then you go do your stuff. So, where there's smoke, there's fire. I think he's a sought-after candidate. I really liked his impact last year. It was one of the best turnarounds offensively. When you look at my numbers, from 2018 to 2019, they were the most improved offense statistically. So that was all his doing. That was his offense by design. But this year, yeah, they've kind of fell flat a bit. I had higher expectations, higher hopes. I thought they'd be a fringe top 25 team, with all that talent back at quarterback and the skill positions. A lot of all ACC caliber guys. Hasn't come true. So, I'm glad he's getting the attention. We'll see. We wondered why South Carolina moved so early in the process here. There aren't any coaches obviously available. There's no carousel yet, so they just wanted to be the first movers, I guess, and this might be their first target.
Take you out west. Is Southern Cal a bit ahead of schedule compared to where you thought they'd be?
Well, coming into Saturday, no. I thought that their first two appearances against the Arizona teams were a bit underwhelming. I know it was 2-0, and you got the W's. That's all that matters. But really didn't pull away in either game. They needed a great comeback in the second half against Arizona State. Arizona, they let hang around, and I remember they didn't cover that 10-point spread there, so it was a close one. Last week against Utah, sure, they looked better. You beat a division contender there by two scores. That's a big win. Keep in mind, though, the second series of the game, Utah's starting quarterback got knocked out, and this is an extremely young defense at Utah, which is two starters back from last year's unit. So I still don't know that we have a true top 10, top 15 team with USC. And I've been impressed with Washington, actually. I was surprised not to see them ranked by the committee. 2-0, really dominating defense right now under Jimmy Lake and Kwiatkowski, and a powerful offense. It's like you have Iowa in the Pac-12 now with their offense. It's I formation under center, grind the ball out, but some real stars on defense, and they're playing good ball. So those would probably be the three, them two in Oregon, as the Pac-12 contenders right now.
You think BYU supposedly ducking Washington a last-minute game that could have been put together hurts them with the committee? They played a lot of games.
Well, I think this has to come down to some PR and some optics. I don't really know what went on there. You hear the one side where BYU had said, let's wait till after Tuesday to see where we stand. That's one angle. But the other angle was they also wanted Washington to guarantee that they'd play. I mean, you want to be able to commit to a game and lock it in, but they knew the Pac-12 policy was if two Pac-12 teams have their opponents cancel and they're both healthy, they need to get paired up. So, and you already saw it happen. Washington is now locked into playing Utah because both of their opponents have canceled. So, yeah, who knows? I think there was a little bit more back and forth than we're seeing. You always see the one side of it, and BYU got crushed nationally with their perception, and maybe some of it rightfully so, but I think also there was some more to it. But the committee certainly made a statement, putting them down at 14 last night, and I thought that was ridiculous. That's one of those teams I'm up there, I'm up till 1 a.m. watching them here on the East Coast every week, and they're impressive. They're a complete team on both sides of the ball. Now, yeah, their schedule might be one of the worst we've ever seen. My point being, I thought that they would keep them and Cincinnati relatively close. They both are blowing teams out by 30 a game and by 250 yards a game. So, yeah, statistically, they're both right there. Cincy might have a slight edge in schedule, but not enough to go put one at number 7 and one all the way down at 14. So a little inconsistent there. I'm wondering what's going on.
Brett, tell everybody how they can get your information.
Yeah, thanks. It's at Pick6Previews on Twitter and pick6previews.com. And I'm on here every Wednesday, 7:30. Looking forward to next week. We're going to have a lot of December football to talk about more than ever. Usually we're wrapping things up, but hey, we're still in the heat of this thing. So excited to talk and enjoy the games and enjoy the holiday.
You too, Brett. Appreciate it, man.
See you, Bill.
There you go. Brett Ciancia, very, very good. Does his homework, as you can tell. Top of the hour, Blake Ruffino. So from Pennsylvania, as we say, all the way down to the boot. With Blake Ruffino. Again, very heavy guesting day. Unusually heavy for us, just because I had to get everybody from Thursday, Friday, and move them into one of these days. Kevin Hagan joining us. Also, bottom of hour number 2. Josh Newberg with us, hour 3. Brad will be with us at 15 past the hour in hour number 3 for the rest of that. Rest of that hour, he'll be with us to answer all your handicapping questions. We'll take the break. Omni Nashville Hotel.